Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. I know you've been welcomed already, but I'm welcoming you again. It's such a privilege. I'm Deanna. I'm part of the pastoral team here at Werribee Baptist. This is the first time I've been up here where there's lots of seats filled, and it is such a blessing. Whether you're here in the building or visiting with us online or joining us online, it's a great privilege for us to gather in the name of Jesus and worship Him. Isaiah 9:2-6 say, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father." Hallelujah. You know what? Pastor Stan started off our Christmas series last week. We're talking about goodness, Christmas me. Often this time of year, it's goodness gracious. It's difficult. Things are difficult. But goodness, Christmas me, we're focusing on goodness through the historical figure of St. Nicholas last week. Today, we're going to look at another historical figure in the church. This person was known because of the atrocities suffered during the Holocaust, whose faith stood strong through the atrocities of evil men. And she overcame with a message of forgiveness and love and hope in Jesus. She was a true woman of prayer. And so we've asked our own Father Christmas, Phil, if he would share just a little bit to introduce us to this really godly woman. So I'm going to throw to Father Phil and have a listen in to who we're going to talk about a little bit today.
One of the things that we read in the history of the church is we read about people who, because of their faith, because they were following Jesus, they get into trouble with the authorities. They started in the book of Acts and it still goes on today. One of the stories that I read years ago was a book called The Hiding Place. And it was a story of a family, a Dutch family, the Ten Boom family, and how they, because they were following Jesus, ended up being persecuted. As a family, they were a fine Christian family who, before World War II, were busy helping the poor, the marginalized, dealing with people with disabilities, all that sort of stuff. A very loving, caring family. When the war broke out, they also became involved in rescuing Jewish people, being part of the resistance that helped Jewish people escape Nazi persecution. Eventually, they were betrayed, arrested, their father died in prison, and Betsy, her elder sister, and Corrie ten Boom ended up in Ravensbrück prison camp. It was a place of darkness. It was, as they said, the pit of hell. But what they discovered was that even in this dark place, they found that Jesus was present. They found that they could share their faith with others. Stories abound in both The Hiding Place and other things that Corrie has written that tell us of people who they spoke to, who came to know Jesus even in the darkest of dark places. And this Christmas, we are reminded that the coming of Jesus was the coming of the light of God into the world of darkness. And we know from what we read of stories like Corrie ten Boom and countless other people who have written their life stories in the midst of darkness, tell us that the light of Jesus cannot be put out by the darkness of this world.
About it. We're going to talk a little bit about a woman named Corrie ten Boom. Now, have any of you, I'm just curious, have you ever wondered what it takes to get your face and your bio on a window at a church in Windhamvale? Yeah? Must be something special. You must have done something special. And you know what? We were talking about Corrie ten Boom because she was known for her great faith. And so listening to her, I'll tell you a little bit why that is. What made her so famous? How many of you have ever seen the movie Hiding Place? There's a few. Mostly our older congregation. How about read one of her books, The Hiding Place, or she's got many books out there. So we have a few. So some of you are familiar with her and her story. If not, they're incredibly challenging. I don't know about you, but I love seeing the fingerprints of God. In fact, when I was listening to the songs this morning, I thought, Lord, people here are going to assume that we are just have our stuff so together that we tailor make the messages and the songs and everything so they fit together like a glove, and it's just this marvelous thing because we're so good at what we do. I'm here to tell you that. I was standing down there singing and thinking, and I know what I'm going to say today, thinking, Lord, you are so amazing. You've put this together. Only God can do it that way. Well, with Corrie Ten Boom, a little bit about her. As I was where we were preparing this series and thinking about whose pictures are we going to put on those windows out there, and we said we want somebody that exemplifies prayer, somebody that is known by their prayers and, you know, great person of faith that did good things. Obviously, last week we heard about St. Nicholas. You heard a little bit more about him this morning, but we're going to talk a little bit about Corrie Ten Boom, and she was a woman from Holland who, she and her family were part of the resistance movement against the Nazi-occupied Holland, and they helped rescue Jews. And they actually even hired an architect to build a room in their house that had a warning system and everything so that Jewish people could come into their watch shop. They were watchmakers. And they could find solace, they could find food rations, they could find a hiding place until they could escape to safety in this Nazi-occupied Germany. Well, as you know, the Holocaust happened and many, many thousands, millions of Jews were killed, not just Jewish people, because Corrie was an example of a Gentile woman, a Christian woman, who had gotten inadvertently caught up in the Holocaust because of her, the part she and her family played. They ended up in concentration camp. She saw four of her family members die as part of this. And it all came into being because someone pretending to be their friend came and they said, they basically got the secrets out that they were harboring fugitives, I suppose you would say. And they turned them into the Gestapo. They were arrested and sent to the concentration camp for helping the Jews. Well, you might ask, why would anybody put themselves in harm's way? That they were just simple watchmakers. What we know is that Corrie believed that every life was important. In fact, before the war, she'd been involved as a young woman doing community social justice work with disabled people, teaching them life skills. And their family believed that every human has value, because they're created in God's image, every person. And that the Jews were God's chosen people, so they were special. So when it came to protecting people, they wanted to be involved. They wanted to see God's goodness lived out in their community. That was before the war. Well, as I said, I like to see God's fingerprints. As this series came together, I, being an avid reader of Christian biographies, during my long service leave several months ago, I thought, I want to do some reading that I enjoy. I often read for work, but I love reading Christian and missionary biographies. And I'd read The Hiding Place many years ago, but I thought, I looked up Corrie Ten Boom again to see what else she had in print, and I ran across this book. This book was published when I was 3 years old, okay? So it's an old one. The pages are quite yellow. But I enjoyed reading this way back in earlier this year. And I had it laying on my desk as we got ready and prepared. And John Takema, I don't know if John's here today, I haven't seen him yet this morning, but he is the director of our Bridge Ministries, our Bridge to the Community. And he looked at that and he says, my dad interviewed her. You see, The Tramp for the Lord, this particular book, while The Hiding Place talked about their family and their involvement in the resistance movement and the hiding of Jewish people, the Underground Railroad almost, if you could say, that chronicled her experiences in the concentration camps, the death camps. This book talks about her travels as an 80-year-old woman. She traveled to 60 countries to spread the news and message of Jesus Christ. Australia was on her stop, and John's dad just happened to interview her back in the 70s. And during this interview, it became very apparent that she was truly a woman of prayer. She had this to say, what wings are to a bird and sails to a ship, so is prayer to the soul. Interestingly, one of our local pastors had put that up on his Facebook feed just this past week, and I thought, what a curious timing. They didn't know we were talking about Corrie Ten Boom. We didn't know we were talking about Corrie Ten Boom at the time, but here it was, her reference to prayer being that that wind, that power for our souls. So in this book, recounting her travels, she was interviewed by Captain Takema. And as I listened to this recording, her commitment to prayerfulness became apparent immediately, because he asked her the question. He said, "Corey, can you tell us a little bit about the love of God?" And she responded, she says, "Oh my, I love to tell about the love of God, but let's have a word of prayer." And I thought, that is so why we chose this woman to talk about today. We're really talking about Jesus, but I'm telling you Corey's story so you can see what goodness in action looks like. She proceeded to pray this prayer. Now, I'm not from a tradition that reads prayers, but I'm going to read this prayer to you so I don't get it wrong. She prayed this prayer. "Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, will you show us your love a little bit? And we praise and thank you that in your great love, you have sent your son Jesus to die and to live for us. And he has shown us your love like nobody else. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you have in store for us. I pray for everyone who is listening, Lord, and they are far away from me, but you are with them. Hallelujah. Amen." What a great prayer. As I listened to this, I couldn't help but be touched by the fact that though she went home to be with the Lord several decades ago, this prayer, prayed back then and recorded for me to listen to today, had us in mind. This woman who understood the power and presence of God, we can learn some things from her. We're going to look a bit closer at her life. But before we do that, I have a question for you. What are some words that you associate with Christmas? So you can turn to somebody to your right if you're socially distanced enough, or right or left, or type it in the chat online. We've got online host. And just say, what are some words that you associate with Christmas? I'll give you just a few seconds for that. Words you associate with Christmas. I'm hearing a few different ones. Some of them make me laugh. But you know what the world often associates with Christmas, even the unbelieving world, I find this very fascinating, are often these words: love, peace, joy, and hope. You know how I know those words are often associated with Christmas? It's because anytime I go shopping for Christmas cards, they're always, these are the words that I find on them. Or the Christmas decorations that we like to buy and hang up, sometimes they're just the words. You know, they're cut out of wood or printed on a thing that we hang up. Or they're in the songs that we sing, joy to the world and things like that, and peace. All these things become clear that these are the words that we have during Christmas. There's many others, but those are ones that are quite common through the ages. You know, one word that I don't usually hear is the word suffering. Have you ever heard suffering printed on a Christmas card? Probably not. Probably not. If you have, I'd love to see it because it'd be very fascinating, I'm sure. But if we're honest, this time of year often brings out the idea of suffering. It finds many of us struggling. I know I struggled this week getting ready for this. This time last Sunday, I was waiting for a COVID test. I was so sick, and I thought, if I'm ever going to get better, I'm going to have to get a test so I can go to the doctor so I can get some medicine to get better. I'm feeling so much better now this week. I should have done it sooner. But I missed out last week, so that's why I wasn't here. But this time of year finds many of us struggling. Words like stress and loneliness, sadness and disappointment, those are how we really feel down inside sometimes. We struggle to feel God's love. But yet, Christmas is this showcase of God's love. God so loved the world that he sent his son. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Back to Corey, it might surprise you to know that when asked about God's love, as it happened in this interview, she shared that she had never experienced God's love so much as she had during her time in a concentration camp. I find that fascinating, because I'm not sure that I could say the same thing if I had been in her shoes. She related one of the most terrible moments of her life during her imprisonment was being stripped naked and being made to stand in the cold for hours with a group of prisoners. That happened 7 times in her life. She said, "The first time was the worst. I said to my sister, 'I cannot bear it. This is the worst than everything else that they did to them.'" She goes on, "It was in that moment that it was when I saw Jesus and the cross. The Bible says they took his garments. He had been naked. And by my suffering, I understood a fraction of the suffering of Jesus, and it made me so thankful that I could bear my suffering. Jesus hanged there naked for me. This kind of suffering would cause many of us to question God's goodness and his love. Our own struggles cause us to question God's goodness and love. We often doubt God's love during times of suffering, whether it be our suffering or suffering in the world. If God is good, why is there suffering? It's not a new question. We're not alone in this, and I'm here to encourage you today that take a look at what the psalmist David had to say. David said in the Psalms, "Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, 'Where is this God of yours?'" But David went on to say, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." We often turn away from God during suffering, but turning back to God is what brings us that hope that we need. We can find hope and peace through Jesus who suffered for us. Isn't that good news? That's the good news of Christmas. Isaiah says this, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." We're going to talk a little bit about hope in a moment. It's what kept Corey going through such a dark, difficult, impossible circumstance. But note how Corey's focus on God's love brought her peace in the midst of her darkness. It was a very dark place, darker than most of us will ever, ever know. But she later found peace with man by forgiving those who had wronged her greatly. She relates a story of being in Berlin, and a man comes up to her, and he said, this was after the war, and he said, "You don't know me, do you?" And she didn't. She didn't recognize the man, and he said, "I was with you in Ravensbrück." And it dawned on her that it was one of the guards that had treated her sister who died in the concentration camp, so cruelly. And he says, "I've found Jesus since then, and I need to hear from one of my victims, if you will, forgiveness." And she said, "The bitterness that rose up inside of me, I just couldn't do it." And she said, "God, I need you to help me forgive this man." And she was able to do that. She knew a lot about forgiveness and peace. And she knew that she had forgiveness with God, but to find peace for her soul, she also needed to find forgiveness for those that had hurt her. She said this, "Forgiveness is a key that unlocks the door of resentment and handcuffs of hatred. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness." It doesn't come easy, but we're released from those things when we're able to forgive others. Jesus' forgiveness brings us peace. Jesus's forgiveness brings us peace with God. But it's our forgiveness of others that gives us freedom. If we want to experience true peace and joy, we need to be willing to do things God's way. God tells us to forgive. He says, "I forgave you, you forgive." David, once again, the great lyricist, songwriter, for those of you that aren't musical, in Psalm 16:11 said, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forevermore." God's way, the way of life, brings us joy. God's way means finding forgiveness for our own sins, peace with God, and it may mean letting go of bitterness and resentment and forgiving those that have wronged you. I'm always saddened to hear of families. One of the things Corey said in her interview, she said, forgiveness starts at home. That may be true for some of you here today. I know Christmas time brings a lot of negative things out in families. It can. And I'm always saddened to hear of families who have been estranged for many, many years to things that happened a long time ago. You know, we felt wronged, whether intentional or unintentional. And Scripture reminds us that God's love covers a multitude of sins, not just ours, but the sins of others. When we're full of his love and we're able to share that, we're able to forgive. Aren't you glad that God and his goodness, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He made the first move. Amen. Amen. His children should be willing to make the first move. And I know that's hard for some of us to hear. I know I've been wronged in my life, and it took me years to get over it. But I just want to encourage you today, by the hope and power and peace and joy of God, you can find freedom and forgiveness for others. I have another question for you. Who might you need to forgive to find peace this Christmas? Finding forgiveness not only brings peace with God and man, it produces great joy and we're freed from bondage. Finding peace brings freedom and joy. Don't you want freedom and joy and peace this Christmas? Did you know joy is actually a fruit of the Spirit? When we are children of God, when we have Jesus as our Savior, the Bible tells us that we're filled with His Spirit. He gives us the Spirit. And that Spirit cries unto God, Abba, Father. Jesus came that we might live this Spirit-filled, abundant life of peace and joy. I'm reminded of the words of the angel who announced to the shepherds that a child was born. And the angel said unto them, Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. You know, I wonder if Corey had lost sight of God's love in that dark prison, in her darkest hours, if her faith had been overcome because of the great suffering she had endured, the hands of evil men, would we be talking about her today, you think? I don't think we would. Before the war, her message was about God's love for all people, and the value of all people, and an outward working of social justice. She was a social justice warrior of her day. But that's not why we get to talk about her today. We talk about her because after she suffered by the hands of evil men that was designed to break her, it only served to deepen her experience of God and His love. Amen. And it caused her to trust in His goodness. If you've not read her books, I'd encourage you to do so. You'll hear many stories of just how God met her in that dark place. But what if she was never able to forgive those that had wronged her this way? Those people that had betrayed her, that had gained her trust and then betrayed her to the authorities, those that had beaten and whipped and humiliated her and her family, what if she couldn't have forgiven? What if she gave up hope and just said, this is too hard, I can't do it? Even in the darkest hours of her life, she did find hope. You can see it in her words here. Even when the worst happens in our life, all the best remains, and the very best is yet to be. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this best. Corey did not lose hope. That's why we're talking about her. While she did have times of doubt, which she admits to, she was able to cast her cares on Christ because she knew that He cares for her. He cares for you, too. We can do the same thing. She understood what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8. So be truly glad, there is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, your faith is being tested, and it is far more precious than mere gold. Amen. Corey knew there was more to come, more than the pain and suffering she experienced. It was temporary. She said, we are citizens of heaven. Our outlook goes beyond this world in hopeful expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus. We sang a little bit about that today. In the book of John, Jesus spoke to His disciples. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew that His death and burial and resurrection would happen and that He would have to leave to go back to heaven. Christmas is the time we celebrate His coming to earth, Emmanuel, God with us. And the crucifixion is a different celebration. It's a dark celebration, but one that brings great hope. He said this to His disciples to encourage them. In John 14, 1 through 3, He says, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Isn't that a great promise? Do you need hope this Christmas? True hope focuses beyond this life and its struggles and on to heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, as the old Southern Gospel song says. The resurrection of Jesus is what gives us this hope. This life is not the end. Death is not the end. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We are told that someday this world's suffering will indeed come to an end, and it may not even be due to global warming. Aren't you glad to know that? You can just wipe your brow and say, huh, God's in control. Not that we don't do our part. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17 is a great verse of hope. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together, we who are alive and remain will meet them. Remain on this earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. That is our great hope. How's that for hope? Good enough? The book of Revelation gives us just a little glimpse of what lies beyond the veil. This is what we have to look forward to. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So you see, really, Jesus is the hope of Christmas. That love of God, that peace that passes understanding, the joy that it produces in our hearts and our lives, and the hope that we have to look forward to. What about you today? You need a little hope, a little joy, a little peace, a little love? Are you going to be ready when Christ returns? Every day gets us a day closer. Only the Father knows when that will be. And many think through this pandemic and everything that it's getting close. Will you be ready? Will he find you waiting with a heart full of his love? Have you received his forgiveness? And have you passed it on to others? Don't just keep it to yourself. Pass it on, and I don't mean just share Jesus with them, but I mean share forgiveness because you've been forgiven. Are you walking in peace as you're filled with the Spirit? A beacon of joy and goodness? Do people see you and say, wow, what a person of joy? I hope so. I hope so. Not just at Christmas. If not, today could be your day. It could be the day that you find true freedom, and it's only one Christmas prayer away. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious God and our Heavenly Father, by your Spirit and in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your love, your joy, your peace, your forgiveness, and the hope that you've granted us. Father, I pray that in this place, each person here, under the sound of my voice, each person watching, would be known by these things. They would know your Son and know the hope and the peace that he brings. That they would be that shining city on a hill that would light the way so that others might be drawn to your Son to find those things as hope, love, peace, joy, forgiveness. Father, we commit all of these things to you. Father, do a work in the hearts of men here today and women and children. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, for all glory and honor belong to you. Glory to God in the highest. In his name we pray. Amen.